towels there, by the way. Anne wouldn't let me bring the curtains. Just as well, I think. Okay, we went to a joint prayer meeting not so long back. I suppose it was a couple of months ago now, in Windsor Road, in Windsor Place. And the speaker there was a lady, and she stood up and she said, do you know what the secret of Christianity is? And I thought, oh, what's this going to be about? And then she said, there isn't any. There isn't any. There is no secret to Christianity. There are no priests that have to go into the Holy of Holies once a year and with probably a rope tied around their waists so that if they died in the Holy of Holies, they could drag them out because no one else would have gone in to get them. And it took 300 priests to move the curtains, which they did every year, and put new ones there. There is no secret to Christianity, because the secret, the hidden things, were exploded on the cross. There is no secret. There are no secret words. There's no password. I've been a Christian for nearly 40 years. I know nothing more than anyone else here who loves the Lord and understands his grace and love. Nothing more. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. There is no secret to Christianity. And part of what Christ's work was to dispel any secrets. Right, we're going to read quite a few chapters today. So if you want to listen with me, that's fine. If you want to follow them in your Bibles, that's fine. Romans 16, verse 25 just reinforces that. Now to him who was able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. The mystery that was hidden is no longer hidden. Christ died to make the mystery known, to reveal everything to everyone. Whatever nation, is no longer just the Jewish nation or the Israeli, it was for everyone, and it was for everyone here, and it's for everyone in India, and it's for everyone in China, and it's for everyone in Wales, and it's for everyone. And there are no secrets. There's no special words or phrases or prayers that we may need to use. And we needn't beat ourselves up that we have to search the Bible and pray 100 times a day to get close to Christ. There is no secret. The secret is, he is your Lord, he loves you, he sacrificed for you, he wants to be your friend, as we've sung there. That is it. He is accessible to everyone, and he wants and embraces everyone. Okay, there's a bit in Hebrews about, inevitably, I hope you are able to tell your kids the answers to their questions. In Hebrews 9, verses 1 to 9, there's a bit about the tabernacle. Just for you to understand that it was originally a tent, and then it was built of stone, the temple. And there was a place for the people to gather. Then there was a place that only the priests were allowed into, which is called the Holy Place. And then there was this Holy of Holies, which was covered by this huge curtain, 4 inches thick. And once a year, the priest had to kill a bull for himself to cover his own sin. And he had to kill a goat for the sin of the people, because you couldn't go into the presence of God unless there was some sort of sacrifice made in blood. Otherwise, they would have just been destroyed. And the people understood that. The priests understood that. That's why they tied the rope around the priest so they could pull him out, because no one was going in to get him into the Holy of Holies. And that priest had to prepare himself in a certain way that he knew about, and dress in a certain way, etc., etc. And then only when he was purified was he allowed in. That is no longer the case. Thank God. Now, the first covenant had regulation for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table and the consecrated bread. This was called the Holy Place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people, for the sins that the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. So they didn't clear their conscience. All this blood, all this covering, it just kept them going. It took a greater sacrifice than that. And it talks there right at the start that there was in the first covenant had regulations for worship. They were like sort of the things that only the priests would know. There was a set pattern, there was a regulation. And it says there in verse 9 that that's not the case anymore. That's not the case anymore. We can all access the Holy of Holies, if you like, through Christ's blood. And there's no longer a need for a high priest or indeed priests. Although we all need, perhaps role models, Christian role models, or people who we can look up to. They're not better than us. They're not more favored than us by God. We're just the same as them and they of us. And so we went from that to Mark now, and this is what happens to the, give you a clue if your kids ask. This is the crunch verse coming up here. Mark 15, verse 37. Jesus on the cross, just about to die. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. This is Mark 15, verse 37-38. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And that's the important thing here, I think. It was torn from top to bottom. It was heaven coming and breaking down to earth. Man could never do it, as we've seen throughout the Old Testament when we did those studies. Man could not do it. No matter how good they were, no matter how hard they tried, man could not do it. They couldn't break through to God. But God, when he saw his son die and he took the price of our sin, the temple curtain was broken and we were allowed into the presence of God. And you know, even today, Christians beat themselves up unnecessarily about trying to do it the other way around. And people, don't they do it? They feel that they have to work, they have to achieve a certain standard of goodness, they have to do certain works, and all those are good things, I'm not knocking them, but they cannot get you into the presence of God because it's freely given. It's freely given because of Christ's sacrifice. He sacrificed before we loved him, before we wanted to follow him. He was prepared to die for us. He has opened the way to the Holy of Holies. He has given us our atonement on that day. And look at the immediate consequences in Luke 23, Luke 23, verses 32-43. I read them out for the recording. Where are we? Right, this is on the day that Jesus was crucified. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, as they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." there was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly." Get that? The guy who's on the cross now, one of the worst punishments you could possibly have in terms of pain, says that he's there justly. He's not saying, "I'm innocent, Gov." You know, he's saying that he's justly there. So he must have done something pretty horrendous, even in his own eyes, to say that. But the other criminal, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." This man has earned nothing except the state and no doubt everyone else's is hatred. And he says he was guilty of some terrible crime. He's hanging on the cross. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, said everyone who hangs on a cross or a tree is cursed anyway. This is a guy who wouldn't have been allowed probably in the assembly of the people, let alone into the holy place or even the holy of holies. This is someone who is nothing and knows it. And yet, he is that day not only allowed into the holy of holies, but because of the work of Christ, and let's emphasize that, it's the work of Christ. Because of the work of Christ, this criminal, this bad person then, clearly, who recognizes it in himself, is able to go into the presence of God. He's able to go into heaven that day, even better than the Holy of Holies. He is with God in heaven. He went with Jesus. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That is the glory of it, really. That is the wonder of it. And that's what we enjoy. There was a time when we couldn't have even got into the assembly of the people of Israel, let alone into the holy place, or certainly not the Holy of Holies. Now we have a confidence that we can march into with the confidence that comes from the atoning blood of Jesus, because he broke the curtain. He made everything accessible for us. We have access to God because of that work of Jesus. And we need to use that access. We need to make the most of it. I was going to read, but for the sake of time, I won't now. There was a couple of verses in Leviticus, but if you want to look it up, if anyone's listening, it's Leviticus 10, 1 to 3, and 16 verses 1 to 10. And Aaron, who was like Moses' brother and the priest, started one of the priests. His sons were killed because they burnt incense in a wrong order before God, and they were killed as a result. You know, this is a holy God, and he was not going to allow anyone near him who was sinful, because just his purity would have destroyed them. Yet this sinner on the cross, this man who represents us in some ways, this criminal on the cross, was that day translated from a cross to the kingdom of God, from the cross to heaven. That is the power, and that is the significance of what Christ did on the cross. He made heaven accessible to us all, for us all to enjoy in communion with him. There's just a couple more verses, and then I'll finish. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as you have been, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." The words that spring out at me then, there, is the high priest who's gone through all this process, covered himself with the blood of bulls, completely sanctified himself to the nth degree according to the law, still is afraid to go into the Holy of Holies. And now, God is saying, come before me with confidence. Come before me with confidence. Why? Because he doesn't look at our sin. He looks at Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Jesus Christ took the punishment for our sin. And that's why we can come with confidence. And that's why we should daily commune with our Lord and enjoy his presence. Because he wants us to. And the last verse, it's again along this theme, is 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So that act on the cross took us from a situation when one man, the high priest, covered in blood, made sanctified by this process, once a year could go into the Holy of Holies. Now, we're all called a royal priesthood. You are royal priests. You have the right, the confidence, and the joy, because it is a joy, to approach the throne of grace, to speak to our Lord. And as I think one of the earlier songs said, you know, my sweet friend, I think it was My Love Unknown, the last song that we sang, referred to Jesus as friend. And in the Bible, he refers to us as friends. We've that sort of position in him that we no longer need a high priest, but we are royal priests ourselves.